Hello, everyone, and welcome to Prusa Live 50. Super happy to have you guys here today. We've got a great show for you, as always. I've got Nicholas Sousa and Joseph Prusa with me today, and I'm Matt Stoltz. We will be joined later on by Robert from Analog Sky to show you some cool project that he's working on, or a cool project that he's working on. Let's get in with the show. Hey, Joe, where are you? That's a cool background.
Well, I am at Chateau Chalet with my family and friends to celebrate my 33rd birthday tomorrow.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, yeah.
Yes. I'm old.
Yeah.
Time flies.
Very nice. So let's kick things off with our printables picks of the week. Joe, I'm guessing that you don't have one as you're traveling right now.
I'm sorry. Yes. Oh, yeah. I just set up a remote studio half an hour ago.
Yeah, we didn't think Joe was even going to be with us today, but he thankfully is taking some time to hang out with us. So we're super happy about that. Mickey, what do you have?
I think for the first time, I'm going to shamelessly feature my own model just because it doesn't happen that often that I release something I've worked so long on. So, it's the Artist Brusher Caster. It's a functional, I don't know, fully functional guitar that I would say differentiates from some of the already existing models out there that... From a guitar player's perspective, it should be really like fine-tuned how high are the strings above the fretboard and the intonation and everything. So I have a whole article and video about that on Printables. I'm happy to finally out and in a state where it's releasable to the public and there aren't like little cat. Exactly how you know, the 80-20, like getting the guitar to the state where it plays like doable, getting into the state where everything is like there you go on a silver plate, everything's prepared, all the tolerances are perfect, kind of difficult. That's mine.
Congratulations on the video, Mickey. I think it's performing very well. How many views does it have?
I think it's gonna be like 100k or maybe going
very nice.
So I was kind of worried about that because it is a bit of a, I don't know, a niche topic, like how many people play guitar and how many people use musical instruments, but yeah.
How many people will start to learn how to play on guitar?
It's amazing seeing like someone had the guitar finished by Sunday and I was like, how? Like I released it Friday evening, so he somehow got all the hardware delivered and everything printed in 2 days and had it assembled. So yeah, I'm having
I wonder if this is someone who already like builds guitars or, you know, does things and already has some of the hardware around.
Yeah. But I guess Joe, you must know it very well, but it's a joy to see someone build something you've designed. It's nice to see.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Sure. I think we should do more videos like that.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, so I have the cantilever S-Box by Michael Fanta.
Oh yeah.
So this is the one that's designed for the Mark II, Mark III, and it's great because flip it open and yeah, it has nice little,
so good,
right? And they're stackable. It has little clips that can go on the side here. I have them here. I haven't put them on yet because this is the first one that I've done. But yeah, you can stack them and clip them all together so that they kind of travel well together. And my plan is to see this one says XL on it. I'm going to do one for each model of Prusa printers and have all the extra accessories and tools. And I've got things set up in here for the extra nozzles and things, so that everything stays even and together and organized. So yeah, nice. Great model.
Fun fact, Michael Fanta actually works at Prusa Research and he does most of the UI printers and he is now mostly working on Connect.
Yes.
Nice.
So that's pretty cool.
I love that even though he works here, I feel like he's really using, like, him being a designer on printables, you might not even realize, because right. he's really pumping, obviously, it seems like a lot of his free time into that. And it's nice because we have, like, a real hardcore user in-house. So he often, sometimes, you know, tells us, like, oh, this is nice, this change, and I would like this. So nice to have someone like that. Us.
Yeah. Fantastic. All right. So hopping into news, starting things off with contests. The Make It Fly contest is out there. Reminder that things being thrown isn't flying. All valid entries must have some kind of aerodynamic lift that they would stay aloft longer than if you were to drop them. So we've had a couple entries in there of questionable flightness.
And
do we have like what's it called with the gliders, glide ratio?
Yes, there has to be at least some glide ratio there. But yeah, so some great entries already. But we are, you know, excited to see what else you guys make.
RC flying croissant.
Yeah, one entry we had to definitely delete, and that was like an X-Acto knife, like ninja star. And we're just like, yes. Like
which again doesn't fly. It would not stay aloft any longer when thrown than if it was dropped.
The designer was nice. They said this is dangerous, but we were like, this is like kind of below,
too dangerous.
Like, yeah, too dangerous.
Yeah. Coming along well. We can't wait to see what else you guys have. Of course, new flash contest every week. Chopsticks is out there now.
I like it.
Chopstick holder. Yeah, there's been some fun ones already. I really like Krusty's Bridge. It was very fun.
Yeah.
So I think that this would be a perfect time to mention some of the things from the today's deploy.
Yep.
Because a lot of people were concerned about the contest, and you know, they were thinking that a lot of people are uploading, you know, trash models or models not on topic. So we implemented some new features.
Yes.
That we can limit the number of entries for the contests now. But that depends. That's based on the context and content and the contest itself. But also, if you think there is a possibility to report models now, but I would let you go, Mickey, so I don't tell all the stuff.
I'm actually following you along with the screenshots. If exactly what you're saying. Yeah. So this is the report window. You mentioned the number of entries per contest, so we can set it, you know, for the different number for each contest, because sometimes it's fine that we expect people to make like 5 submissions more, but if the team is fairly complicated, then limiting it to 4 or 3 will make sure that no one is spamming the contest, because we can assume that, you know, but it will be able to make more high quality models for the team. And also, when you're submitting the model into the contest, you now get a pop-up, which is just like an intentional, like a blocking step. So you have to click some things and look at it for a few seconds. So you can't just go pre-open contest and you can't go join without thinking about it. And yeah, here we tell, we ask the user to like confirm that the model fits the team, and that the user is aware of the fact that if the model does not fit the team, we can remove it. And if the user repeatedly violates the contest, then we can ban the user from entering in the future. So it's just something to be aware. So we hope little things can help to keep all the entries on topic, which we like to see.
We wouldn't like the abusive view to spoil the fun for so many.
Yeah.
I like to joke that no matter what the contest theme is, that there's a soap dish in every contest. So trying to eliminate a lot of those off theme items, you know, is part of the goal here. You know, the contests are more useful to users to go through looking for specific things if we stay on target.
Yeah.
So yeah, super excited about that.
But
and
tons of other updates, right?
Yeah. It's much easier for you all to report now. Also, there is a button as you're browsing the contest, the three button tip, there's a report there, so you can report that, you know, the object shouldn't be in that contest. So that will help us filter things out much faster.
Exactly. But yeah, other than this change, there have been, I think, something new was pushed to printables basically every day for the past few weeks. So let's go through some of those cool things. One thing specifically was, you know, the idea came from our viewers from the community using printables, and that's the downloaded models collection. So this is basically our history of everything you've downloaded. So you know, we had the liked models collection, so you can like things and mark them that way really quickly. But now also everything you download goes into this collection automatically, which is really nice.
I love this. I'm so happy about this because
it is,
you know,
also for me.
If especially if you're like working on a multi-part project and you forgot to download all the parts at one time, and sometimes it's like harder to go back and find that if you forgot to like it or whatnot, now it's right there, which is great.
And also because we've added another new feature which I love, and that's the one click like magnet link to Prusa Slicer. So I intentionally didn't click all the Remember My Choice, so I can show you on the stream. You click the button and you can choose what to do. If you don't have Prusa Slicer, you can download it, but I'm just gonna pick Open File in Prusa Slicer, and you get this window which is similar to how Zoom or Slack and other applications do it. And you go run Prusa Slicer, and with one click it will move the file to Prusa Slicer, which is really awesome. So now that I've done it, the next time I will don't have to click through those things. And yeah, I didn't have to download anything, and I just have the model in Prusa Slicer, which is so convenient. But also really easy to forget that you downloaded it, so now you have the downloaded collection.
Yeah,
yeah. And there was, I remember, I thought that it's out for longer than since the last Prusa Live, but you can also configure where it downloads the models.
Yeah.
So you either can have it in your downloads folder, or you can have it in like temporary folder, so you know you don't mess up anything.
Exactly.
Or you don't make mess in it anywhere.
To enable this, it's like in, I would say, beta. So you have to turn it on both in Prusa Slicer and in your profile settings on printables. But yeah, it's just a matter of checking boxes. So here it's downloads from URL in the configuration wizard, and you say hello built-in downloader. And here you can actually specify, that's what Joe was just talking about, the folder. And yeah, in printables, you do the same in your profile setting. Voila. And do this.
It's quite streamlined because you just click download and you just select the profile, and then you slice it and send it directly to printer and start the print.
Change which I think is really nice is now printables have fuzzy search. So if I do battery holder with many T's, it will not confuse the search because be able to correct these small typos. And it's actually, I think, configured really nicely. So for a really short, like three letter words, it's like no typos, because then it would bring the relevant results. You know, you would type in cat and you would get bat and dead, and I don't know, like that's bad. But as you go for longer words, it tolerates slightly bigger and bigger typos. Can do like Spider-Mon, and I will get many Spider-Mans. So nice quality of life thing. You know, we're
I'm imagining a game where you are catching a lot of different varieties of Spider-Mans.
Also, the related models tab, it has like this button that it's new because we've completely reworked it, and I think it works like exceptionally well now. So if there is a related model on printables, I would say it will find it. If the related models are kind of wrong, I would say it's not because printables were not able to find models that are there, but it's probably because the model is kind of specific and there aren't very many really similar models on printables.
So yeah, this is really nice. And look at it, no junk in the related models, like really high quality models.
Yeah. So that's nice. I like storage wall. I mean, get like things and storage walls. And it's really nice.
I mean, even though if you have download history now, if you remember somehow, vaguely what project you saw, maybe you can find it this way.
Yeah.
By searching for something similar.
Oh yeah, that's true. Yeah, exactly. On the homepage, the featured models can now be scrolled to the side, just so you can browse for all of them if you haven't visited the page in a while, and maybe you just remember that you saw something cool in models. So this is just another way to look at them. Of course, you can always just pick in the filters, like only featured models. Yeah, all of them. And there's still more. Some of the things I have screenshots. One of them is just like another quality of life thing. You're changing your avatar picture. You can now edit it directly in tools, so you can crop it and adjust it. Something I really like when sites do. I don't have to open like a Photoshop or file.
Especially if you're trying to do something on mobile.
Yeah, exactly. And another thing is like a prevention of losing a command that you half typed or a make. So if you're typing a command, uploading a make, or doing anything like this, and you're gonna click on something accidentally or press back on your mouse or something like that, you will get like an extra pop-up that you have something half typed. And if you really want to leave, you can confirm it, or you can go stay on page and whatever you're working on. So really another quality of life. Just so I think for
lots of stuff.
Yeah, lots of stuff. Yeah. Like, and this is still like ignoring like half of the things that are changing, because a lot of it is like improving something in the database or something in the infrastructure itself, and many things which we don't really publish because they're really nothing the users can see or really immediately feel. But yeah, it's also
right.
Admitted, there's a lot of things which people would like to know about, but I mean, it would just seem like you are spamming Twitter if you
about
all the things.
Yeah, that's
true. It is just so many things.
Yeah, and we still have obviously more on the way. Smaller things, bigger things.
Nice to see some great, you know, user facing updates though. Yeah, really quality of life issues.
And as I said, some of those things come from the feedback. So you can paste it in the chat right now or whenever on Twitter or anything you prefer using in this social site, and just let us know, because we do read it, and it helps us to put priorities on features which we want.
Fantastic. Prusa Slicer. 2.6 keeps coming out with new alphas. We're up to alpha 4 now. And the big change is to the cut tool. Redid the UI and some
exactly
some preview.
When the cut tool could only cut, you know, move up and down, it was kind of natural that the labels said top part and bottom part and what should happen with it. But then we encountered the problem that now you can move the, you know, cutting plane whichever way you want. And like, now what is top?
And what was top and what was bottom? Yeah.
and it gets even weirder, because if you like over rotate it, then the top is actually the bottom and the bottom is the top, because it's using the normal of the plane. So we had to solve that, and also it got the Cut tool got some, you know, more new features like the connectors, but also it can now split to parts, which means it will not touch the position of any of the models. It's gonna like make basically model for MMU printing. You can think about it that way. And yeah, more things. The window got kind of large, and it was really not clear what's happening. So we redid this whole thing. It's way more clear. You know, we have these two objects. They are color coded, and also the object in the view is color coded exactly. You know where it's split, so you can really clearly see which half is which. You can obviously, you know, move the plane in the view. When you hold down the shift key, you can draw the cutting plane, which is really nice. And yeah, this whole thing is now redone. So hopefully it's way more clear, and you won't have to even read the documentation to understand what's going on. But that's probably the biggest change. You can read the full change log on GitHub. There's some other things that were improved. Any bug fixes, improvements. So.
Yeah. I saw someone earlier in the comments ask if it was worth upgrading the Alpha 4. And, you know, especially when we're in the alphas, it's always worth upgrading so that you can continue giving us feedback so that we can sooner get to the point where it's, you know, beta and, you know, release candidate and, you know, get it out there fully. So
Need your help. And I will repeat again, because we can't repeat this enough times. The alphas, betas, they use different configuration folders, so you can run them completely separately. So there is no way you can break your stuff or your settings. Even if that would, there is another feature which doesn't get enough love and not many people know about it. We as Slicer have configuration snapshots.
Yes.
Maybe we need to do a video about these.
Yeah.
And And the newest alpha, is hard to tell, but or hard to convey, but it's way more stable. They fixed a lot of random crashes. And also, if you are, I would say, semi-professional, I would be fine with using the alphas for like production prints. You just need to know if you scroll through G code, if there's something missing or something wonky.
Yeah.
Other than that, I mean, we are using it all around the company. You just need to see if the G code, you know, looks like G code.
And especially production prints that need supports right now, it's worth it just for organic supports.
Yeah, exactly. And as Joe says, you just check the preview, and if there's nothing really weird going on, I would be totally fine just printing it.
Right. Fantastic. No matter what we do, no matter what we say, everyone's going to ask, what's up with the XL?
Yeah. Joe,
I guess I'll take that.
Yeah.
Everything's still on track, it looks like.
Sorry, I was I got stuck on reading the chat. I was catching up. You asked about the XL.
Yeah.
The XL is on track. We are basically doing a little celebration because we are finally getting orders. From ST Micro, we ordered in 2021. First half, it's bonkers, but yeah, it's happening.
That's great. So you know, nothing big to update, but you know, the update is.
There is nothing to update because we have we are sticking to the plan. We did in the latest Excel update video, and you can see my face,
which is linked in the description of the stream also. So if you want to check the Excel update video, you can. Okay. Yes,
fantastic. Okay. Well, I guess that means it's probably time for our guest. So let's go ahead and bring Robert in.
I have a link.
Oh, okay. Let's talk about that real quick while he's joining us. Yeah.
I mean, that's basically what I wanted to do. Hey, Robert. Okay. We're just giving like this sneak peek of this new PETG with carbon fiber that's coming out soon. That's basically all we can say about that, and that's fine.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Cool.
So we're being joined by Robert from Analog Sky. I keep wanting to say that for some reason. But yes, from Analog Sky. And he is using our printers to help bring the night sky into better focus, shall we say. So Robert, why don't you tell us what you're working on?
All right. Hi, guys. So what we have here are stargazing binoculars, and they are basically, this is the first commercial offering of binoculars that are really designed from the ground up to give you the best possible experience of looking at the night sky. So we have here, we have Magic. This is our 50 millimeter model. And here we have Heart, which is 80 millimeters, a little bit bigger. And so these have a number of features that replace handheld binoculars for sure, but also replace a lot of telescopes too.
That's what, yeah, it really seems so intriguing to me. So how, like, if I imagine a telescope, I think of a long tube that has like really focal length. It's huge. How can I imagine looking through this? Is this like a bit like wider view of the night sky, but still like way better than what I would see with my eyes?
Yeah, so it is a lot wider than a telescopic view. So with binoculars, it turns out most of us have two eyes. Not all of us, but most of us have two eyes. And it turns out that your brain has a lot of tools at its disposal when you have both those eyes open. It makes the view brighter at night because it actually combines the brightness from each eye into one image. It combines the sharpness from both eyes. So it takes the sharpest parts of both image into one sharper image, and even does noise reduction. And, you know, the other thing that's the best about it is that it's just a lot more comfortable. So, you know, you guys could try it real quick. Everyone following at home could try this. You guys are going to love this. This is Prusa branding right here. Why don't we just go ahead? Let's close one eye for a second. Okay, keep it closed. Keep it closed. Keep it closed. Are you starting to feel the muscles on this eye? They're kind of twitching. They want to open up.
Yeah.
And maybe you feel over here, you can even feel these muscles are like, hey, I want to close. So, you know, your brain just wants you to pick one or the other, like open or close, pick one. So it's uncomfortable, really. And so, you know, if this is supposed to be an aesthetic, enjoyable experience, that you spend 15 minutes doing or an hour doing or all night doing, is kind of like your brain is constantly saying, if you're only looking through one eye, your brain is saying, hey, open or closed, instead of just being able to enjoy what you're looking at. And that really changes how you experience the night sky too, because, you know, through a telescope, it's really this thing of, okay, this list of things that I want to get through, that I want to check out, and you know, maybe I need a big telescope and I need motors and I need a computer to point it there because this is such an uncomfortable thing I'm doing. But with binoculars, it's like you just point them somewhere and it's beautiful and you're comfortable and you can just start sort of wandering around and enjoying the experience.
That's
super cool.
You know what it reminds to me? Is it something like in the PCB assembly line we have like the Manta scopes or microscopes for checking, mm-hmm. which is like not even binoculars. It's you have like full field of view, and the difference between normal microscope and this is probably something like normal telescope and what's the name again? How do you call it?
Stargazing binoculars.
Stargazing binoculars.
Yeah. So yeah, absolutely. I mean, all of those, you know, whenever you're doing that kind of PCB work, you definitely want both of your eyes, right? So it's the same kind of thing here at night.
Because I got to see the pictures over, the thing is 3D printed, right?
Right. So, you know, we can take a look real quick here.
There's a reason why he's on the show.
Oh yeah.
What? Yeah, so this is Magic, and these are 50 millimeter binoculars. And so this entire thing, every part in here, except for the optics and, you know, some hardware and the lenses, you know, obviously, this is all printed on a mini. And so
that's amazing.
It fits on that print bed. And that was one of the things I was really excited about putting this model together was that, hey, you could actually do this entire thing on a mini, and I think it'll be stiff enough. You know, you were just talking about, you know, adding carbon fiber to filament. And, you know, one of the biggest problems with telescopes is making sure they're stiff. Mm-hmm. And so this is printed entirely in PETG, not with any carbon fiber, but it is, you know, plenty stiff. And so, you know, it works out that you can completely print a pair of binoculars for looking at the night sky out of plastic.
I would have to assume that there would be some requirements about the material that you would choose, though. Like, you wouldn't want to print the entire thing out of white material, I'm guessing, because there'd be too much light refraction right around inside.
Yeah, so all the internal components, you want to print them in a really dark or just black material. But on the outside, you can have a lot of fun. There are a lot of components here that that you can choose your color, or, you know, choose multiple colors. We got a fun little flip out finder here for
nice
figuring out where you pointed. So, you know, print those a different color. You can kind of customize it, make it your own too.
So this is printable, but you're obviously designing this as a product. So what is your actual, like, plan? How are you going to distribute these?
So we're starting off believing in the concept that people really want to make stuff. So to start with, this is going to be offered as a course. And you buy the course, and we provide all the files that you can either print or have sent to a printing service if you don't have a printer yet. And then we have step-by-step video instructions about how to put them together. And so...
I think you have a little snippet of those video instructions there, Mickey.
You.
Yeah.
So you've kind of intended this to be like a family activity too.
Absolutely. This is my 9-year-old daughter. it shows up in the videos, and so she is assembling these step by step herself. So, you know, magic is a great STEM type project for someone who's into making, a younger person who's into making or engineering, any of the above. So it's just a short clip here, but we're showing how to build the focusers here. And so yeah, absolutely, it's something that a wide range of people can do.
I love it.
So yeah, the
color. You picked really nice color scheme.
Yeah,
it really sells it.
Thanks. Yeah. Well, you know, I was kind of looking around at all the different telescope brands to see what hadn't been chosen yet, and purple was right there for the taking. I said, "All right, we're purple."
Right now, it's like the day and age of purple renaissance. Everybody likes purple now.
Yeah.
I'm excited about that. So yeah, we've got a few pictures here, you know, to show you the zoom range. So one of the things, you know, that makes these special, most binoculars, obviously you don't have any ability to zoom, but these use just standard, you know, telescope eyepieces you can take out and put in a closer zoom.
That's really cool.
To zoom in closer.
Yeah. So
yeah.
That's a zoom. Was it both with this smaller version, or was it one with the bigger one that you have?
So both of these have the same ability to put different eyepieces in.
Yeah.
And so that photo there represents what magic can do. It has a zoom range from about 7x. So, you know, if you have a pair of like handheld binoculars here, these are 10x zoom. Mm-hmm. And they're fixed at that size, but You know, what this allows you to do is buy any eyepieces made for telescopes and swap them in and out. And so on Magic here, you can go all the way from about 5 to 7x, all the way up to 40, maybe 45x. And 45x is really quite a bit through binoculars, because that'll allow you to see like the rings of Saturn. It'll show you a lot of detail in star clusters. You can really zoom in on all kinds of cool things, galaxies, nebulae, stuff you would never dream of seeing in just a regular handheld pair of binoculars.
Someone who's really interested in this, like, but has zero knowledge about it, are these eyepieces expensive, or how much do they go for?
They are not. Of course, you know, it's optics, and so yeah. You can spend as much as you want on those. I really focused on making these affordable for as a great kit for beginners. So, you know, like these are $60 a piece. These are really nice beginner optics. These are about 30 a piece. So, you know, for you can build this whole thing with a nice set of starter eyepieces, print it yourself, grab a tripod like this, and you're all in for under $500.
That's sweet. And you know, it's modifiable and upgradable, and you know, you can do as many variations as you want. Yeah, not just stuck with one piece. And you know, if it's Chinesium and it breaks, then you know, it's not like it breaks in a month and then you can't fix it. This you can use forever.
Yeah, I mean, I hope people can use these, you know, for their whole lives. There aren't, especially, you know, for as a dad, I've been through a lot of STEM projects already, you know, it's like STEM branded projects, and it's kind of like, this is something that's just going to be collecting dust in a week. But you know, build this, and it's something that you'll be able to use for the rest of your life. And yeah, as we get user feedback, we'll be able to upgrade different parts. You know, if the focusers, we can adjust those, you know, any parts that need adjusting, we can do that, and people will have lifetime access to you know, downloading those new files and just being able to print them. So that's a, you know, that is one of the things with telescopes. It's like it gets made for a couple of years and then you no longer have access to any of those components. And so it's this is a really different model.
Something that we talk about around here a lot is that ability to upgrade and fix your product, because, you know, because it is printable and you can make, you know, new iterations of it and things. So, you know, it's great to see,
absolutely,
you know, other products in that same category.
Yeah. So these two, you know, these are two different sizes. This zooms in further and this has sharper optics, but they both share the exact same focusers. So, you know, you can, so as we develop, you know, let's say we improve the design of the focuser, then that carries across instantly to all the models we do in the future. And being able to free ourselves up from, you know, the manufacturing process and having to make a big batch for this model and having to make a big batch for that model, like, you know, they're all going to improve together over time. So that part is...
Reacting to a comment, I see. How did you take the pictures that we've just seen? Do you have like an adapter for your phone or something for a camera?
Oh, so well, those are simulations. Okay. So those come from a planetarium software that gives you some idea. You know, it's really hard to give people a sense of what things look like through the eyepiece. Through photographs, because the human eye is just so different from a camera.
Yeah.
In fact, you know, what you can see through these, there was just something discovered right outside the Andromeda galaxy, the most famous galaxy in the sky that no one had ever seen until like 2 months ago. And because it was so faint and it takes so long, it takes, you know, 50 hours to take a photo of it. But with these, I can see it in real time. So, you know, your eyes just work completely differently from the way cameras do. So it's, you know, those photos we had up showing the different zoom ranges kind of just give you some idea of what you'd see.
But, you know, the nature of this, to that point, the nature of this, you know, there's definitely the opportunity for someone to make a camera mount and to, you know, play with this, you know, in the future. So,
yeah, in fact, you know, the heart here has a little spot right here. I don't know if that picks up. There's a blank plate here that is for a lens to go in for a future electronics platform, so that it can take a picture and figure out what it's pointed at, and then we can do whatever we want with that information. So
we've got lots of user questions coming in here, but I'll get to one that was a rewind, sure. Which is so the magic, how much does the magic weigh? I think that's probably one of the advantages here, is that it will work on a normal camera tripod because of the balance of it a little bit better, and you know, it not being quite as heavy as some like typical telescopes, right?
Yeah, so magic here is about 3 pounds. Super lightweight. You know, this is the here's the frame that kind of keeps everything held together, keeps everything stiff. So as you can see, there's not a whole bunch to it. But it's definitely stiff enough for the job. So yes, because it is lightweight and it's not long, you're not cantilevering a lot of weight over a mount you can use. This is a really nice, inexpensive ABS tripod with a really basic, you know, just camera video head on it. So yeah, super light. And like I say, for kids, you know, when I was a kid, I got a telescope, but it was like this long. It was longer than me and taller than me, and the ability to get it outside was kind of challenging, right? But this together with this weighs about maybe 10 pounds together. So my kids can both just walk it all around the yard and look through it themselves.
I think it also has a fun side of, because it is so compact and everything else, that it would be very easy for like hiking into a location if you're trying to like go to the top of a mountain where it's going to be, you know, less, you know, light pollution and, you know, get up and above everything. You know, this is just even not the weight, just the compact size of this will be easier to transport than a big telescope is.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Backpackable, or even, you know, car camping. You know, I have some friends who they bought a telescope 2 years ago, and they go camping once a month, and they still haven't been able to fit the telescope in the back of the car with them. So yeah, it's like this can always go with you wherever.
Yeah, I remember, you know, one time going out with my friend who had like a new telescope, you know, even motorized to track everything as it goes. But, you know, it took him an hour to set it up. And if you are trying to, it's middle of a freezing night and you are waiting 1 hour for that. It's, I would say it's the standard way is quite challenging to get someone to love the astronomy or what's the proper English word?
Astronomy is good. I like stargazing because astronomy is kind of scientific.
Yeah.
And absolutely. You know, even I have a bunch of different, you know, sizes of binoculars. I even have one larger than this that's 200 millimeters. You know, but if I just want to go outside, it's a cold night and I want to go out in the front porch and just look at something for a couple of minutes, I take this one because I just walk outside with it and I enjoy the next 10 minutes of my life looking at stars instead of building a telescope.
What about tracking something that moves fairly quickly on the night sky? Can you do it?
So we have on here we have a couple of slew handles. There are just standard quarter 20 holes here for adding different slew handles, so that when you're using it on a tripod, you can move like, so the International Space Station, for instance, is a great one that moves pretty fast through the sky. And sure, you could track that just using those slew handles. Most of the things in the sky just follow the general movement of the night sky. And at the magnification levels we're dealing with here, you don't really need tracking for that, because you know we're going from up to about 45x here, and we're going up to about 90x here. Mm-hmm. And so you can just do it by hand, and it's actually a lot more fun. It's fun to chase stuff by hand rather than, yeah, rather than have motors doing it for you.
Fantastic. So I don't know if you're quite ready on the these questions, but you know, of course, the big ones out there because everyone's interested is, when will the course be available and how much will the course cost?
Yeah, so we are looking at end of March for Magic. And so we are looking to have Heart ready a few months after that. And so right now we're looking at the regular cost of Magic to be $49.95 US dollars. We'll probably have some promo pricing to begin with. Get on the mailing list now, and I'm sure we'll shoot a nice promo price out to the mailing list. And so then Heart will be ready a few months after that, and we'll probably price out one around 100 US dollars.
That sounds great.
And Heart is not printable, correct? Only Magic is printable.
So Heart has a ton of printable parts. So this has an aluminum frame that keeps it stiff for this size. It's just hard. You know, you're printing like 4 kilos of plastic to do it. And I'm not the kind of person, like, I'm not going to print four spools to make something. And then, so it's an aluminum frame, but then all of the parts inside, the mirror mounts are still 3D printed. The focusers are still 3D printed. You have here, you know, this handle back here is printed on a mini. And so, you know, the cells that hold the lenses in the front, those are printed as well. So tons of printed parts in there, and it's still a 3D printing project for sure. It's just not 100%, 100% printed. This is just sort of like a beautiful cube you can make on your printer with just a few extra spare parts and by the laser. I don't think I've mentioned the laser yet.
Oh, nice.
I'll shoot you guys with the laser.
Yeah.
So that tells you where you're pointed in the night sky quickly and easily.
Fantastic. So we're running down on time here, but I'll ask you,
all right.
I'll ask you the question I ask everyone who brings in something designed, which is, what software do you use, and are there any other like tools that are just absolutely crucial to your design experience?
Everything is in Fusion, is what I'm using for this. You can't beat free hobby trial.
Right.
That's where I started, like so many people. I think I'm part of a community here. I would say my biggest tool is my group of fellow makers here and my local telescope building scene here in Oregon. So I want to give a shout out to them because that's a big part of what's made this possible. And that's one of the things I appreciate about what you guys are doing, is not just making the cool gadgets, but also building the community around that, and really finding a way to impact people's lives. So for me, that's what's most essential to me is my buddies here who can help me fix problems when they come up, and they feel impressed that I know how to use 3D printers and CAD software, but
yeah.
I'm incredibly impressed they can grab like the lid of a coffee can and build a telescope out of it. So
that's great. Robert, remind everyone what the website is again, and where they can find more information.
Yeah, so we are at analogsky.co. And of course we're on all the social media platforms. So, at analogsky.co, you can sign up for the mailing list right now. And as we get closer to that, launch date, we'll, be letting everybody know, exactly when that's going to happen. And you can follow along. We'll be posting some teasers on the social media accounts.
Fantastic. From now until then. Fantastic. Well, thank you. This has been really great. I'm reading the comments. I think the audience is super excited, and you potentially got some customers out there. So
fantastic.
We can't wait to see where this goes.
All right. Well, thanks so much for having me on.
Yeah. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Robert.
Awesome project. Good luck.
All right. Thanks so much. Bye-bye.
Oh, man. I love seeing these things. Like everything that everyone's making with our machines, and, you know, the possibilities are out there. And, you know, I think this is great because, again, I love the, like, family aspect of this, of getting kids involved, and, you know, yeah.
It seems like we're seeing more and more of these, the type of a product where it's like 3D printable something by well prepared spec of things and put it together, and you have a thing completed. Which...
Yeah, it's super cool. All right, so speaking of looking at people's projects, let's take a look at the printables show, or the Prints Alive Show Us Your Prints. So every show we invite you guys to show us what you guys are working on, and we comb through those results and pick some of our favorites and send you guys some filament.
Going for number 3. That is not my number 3. So I guess we're doing a shout out to Phantom Printer as one of the submissions. But I was so intrigued by the project that I'm...
You didn't queue everything up? I thought that was our number 3, was Phantom Printer. Was it?
Okay, I have it up. Here. Actually. Typo? Okay. So our number 3 goes...
What happens when Joe's not sitting beside you beating you and making sure that...
Yeah, exactly. It's a username that's really hard to read because it's backwards, but it's random division. I'm gonna go with that. And it's
just a great example of organic supports here.
Exactly.
And, yeah.
So imagine it or not, I think this scan, maybe this is not the original scan, but it's one of the earliest prints I was printing back then.
Really?
This statue. But I think that this is much more detailed.
More detailed, yeah. Yeah, it's kind of a classic model out there, but like that one came out so well, and I think, you know, a big portion of that is the organic supports making it so it wasn't just a nightmare of support removal.
Oh yeah. I mean, it is, you know, people get used to such an improvement so quickly. I can't remember like print when I last time used the old one.
You just accept that this now exists and you forget about the time before it really quickly.
Yeah.
Like you can see that, you know, even though the model has a flat base, you just really don't care. You can print it in any orientation.
Right. I mean, I can't imagine if you would show to me like 3 years ago that I'm going to print this model at this orientation and it will look better than standing up.
And not just look better, than it would even stick, right? Like, it would be such a nightmare.
All right, moving on to our number 2. It's by Steven. And it's an RC model of...
there's a video down below. It's a RC snowmobile.
Look at that thing
take off.
I've never seen an RC snowmobile.
I've only seen a couple, and this is so fun.
Wow. That's so good.
I don't know. I'm supposed to get like 8 to 10 inches, so like almost 300 millimeters of snow tonight, that would be fun in the backyard.
Yeah. Congrats, Steven. That's a really nice print. We are moving on to our winner for this stream.
Yes, Liz, you could definitely test that there.
And it's Ali Mosavi with 75 printed parts. Wow.
So cool.
That is amazing.
Oh, by the way, that's he's using the, I think by extreme the.
Base. Yeah, I think so. Can you confirm in the chat?
Yeah, that looks so great. It's and you know it's always so much fun for both of the past two entries. It's so much fun to see like assembled things that are so much bigger than even the printer, like sitting on the printer and showing, you know, what's possible.
So congrats, you win the first prize.
Fantastic. So we have like 4 minutes left for some questions.
Go. So printables and the new slicer. I bet new alpha is around the corner. This keeps. You look at the development server, there's like every day, like, 50 new versions with commits fixing something here and there.
Yeah, but
extra Tim did just go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, continue.
Extra Tim did just confirm that yes, yeah. that is his design.
So, was actually like yesterday. Yeah, I think yesterday was speaking at CERN.
Oh yeah.
The big particle accelerator. And also Adam from Polymers, and you know, it was amazing. And I think the talks will be available. And Wojciech is talking about how wonderful it is to work on an open source software.
I'm so looking forward to hear that.
How it's easy to make everyone happy.
Yeah, how you totally don't make everyone completely mad when you change one little thing. It's different. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that also because I think it will be sometimes a bit funny because Wojciech has this nature of this like pretty hardcore developer who he doesn't like walk around the words. He just says things how they are, I would say.
But it is amazing because they have a small lab with Mach 3s at CERN, so we had a lot of people using the printers, and it was wonderful to be able to go down to the Atlas cavern. I mean, very few people are lucky to go there. So
yeah.
thank you everyone who made it possible.
Very cool. I loved seeing the photos.
Someone is asking about the possibility of returning parts for reusing. We thought about it many times. Right now, we don't say environmental, like a way where this would be more environmentally friendly than like recycling them locally. Yeah, just scrapping them because sending them across the planet will also generate like. But definitely on the radar. Printables request. Share a model that's a collaboration of designers.
There's a bunch of these that are coming in. I think it would be interesting to kind of combine groups so that groups can, like a group can post, you know, the group's functionality is already there, but a group can post a design and, you know, it's kind of attributed to the group instead of an individual.
Sorry.
the Nicholas NDA on Excel for beta testers. They can post anything if they pretty much ask me or Nicholas. But I mean, nobody does because there are so many trolls, and I see some in the chat, you know, poking little things. So they are fed up with this because every time they post something, those very, very ugly people like show up and ruin their day. So,
yeah.
Excited for RMRRF.
Rocky Mountain Rep Rap Fest. Yeah, Denver. We'll see you here soon. See you there soon.
Yeah, maybe make it Mika and we can tease. We are playing with an idea about making a North American tour. To do a 2 full weeks or something like that, touring around the States. So you heard it from me here, but officially when we figure everything out.
There's a short period of time between a couple of events, and so we are busy trying to figure out how to fill that time.
Yeah.
Worst Peter, will we be at Barf? I don't know that Barf is fully confirmed yet. So if there is a Barf, we would love to be there. We just need to know if it's actually happening.
It's a hilarious by the way, Barf.
Yes.
Yeah. But Normand, I can tell you already that I'm coming to Canada to a Maker Faire. I think it's in Calgary, right, Mickey?
So the Calgary Fair is kind of the end of that potential North American tour. So, and we are actively looking into some things in the future for more Canadian events, because we haven't really done much in Canada, so we're trying to plan some more right now.
Nozzle Boss plugin for a Blender for being incredible to implement an improviser. I have not checked that, but it's a plugin for Blender, so I will, because it sounds very.
What is Nozzle Boss plugin? I'm scared to even Google it.
Filthy Phil, Seattle is a potential for sure. It's on the almost for certain list.
All right.
That's it. We're actually a couple minutes over. Yeah. So fantastic. Yeah. Thank you all for joining us. It was a great show. Thank you very much to Robert from Analog Sky for joining us. We'll see you guys next month. Stay safe. Keep running. See you guys.
Bye. Take care. Everyone.